lights out, we're underway. Smokesport Republic, a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back for a massive episode. Ends. Tom the lazy bastard is still away in Japan, so I'm with Mr. Moto Heaven, the legend in the motorcycle industry in Melbourne, Adrian Letty. How are you doing?
I'm really, really good, thanks, and very, very happy to be here. Very happy.
Very, very happy. Second time on the pod, you were with us in Thailand, so Mr. Yep. Buriam.
Yep, that was super fun. What a weekend.
Major weekend, mate. We have so much to get through. Now, Mr. Moto Heaven, you are Moto Heaven. So for all our ads, all our sneaky ads that we put in here, in there, this is the man that makes it all happen as well.
Yes. Now, look, it's pretty exciting. Moto Heaven turns 19.
Yes.
In a couple of weeks, so it's been a very long, enjoyable process.
Yep.
Been awesome.
It's been
it. Met some awesome people, done some really cool things, heaps of MotoGPs.
Yeah.
You know, we really like looking after the Moto community.
Yes. Yes, you do. It's awesome to see. There's a lot of people that love it as well. And like, you know, I've seen a lot of your customers that have been long time customers, you know, for 19 years, which is a pretty insane thing that not many people in retail or business would have that type of loyalty as well. So you've got to be doing something right.
Yeah, look, I think there's plenty of good mum and dad stores that would still have long-term, customers and whatnot. But I think the large retail chain now, it's sort of, every time you go in there, there's a different employee. Whereas we're more about the relationship and building, you know, serving the customer and making sure they're getting what they need.
100%.
Looking after their bike as well, if they're in Melbourne.
Yeah, massive online store. You've heard me say it a million times. I'll say it one more time, motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. We'll talk about it more later on as well. But best in the business. And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube, Patreon, all that stuff. Thank you for everyone that does. It means the world as well. We do our monthly review show. And we're going to try and sneak in a couple of extra Patreon episodes as well in the next couple of months once Tom is back and stops getting massages in Japan, I think. So, mate, Le Mans, huge.
Le Mayhem.
Le Mayhem. I love that one. Mayhem. That's good.
It was carnage.
It was awesome. We went down to our friend Mark's place last night in the factory and watched it.
He was also there in Thailand.
Yeah, it was also in Thailand. It was a little bit of a gathering again from the Thailand boys.
Yep.
But like there's so many talking points from both races, but especially with Johann Zarco, like just insane what he's done. And we're talking about it today and we'll get to the results in a second, but like we're doing our Moto Heaven gift card, pick the top sprint winner, quali winner, and how could you pick that? And then having just Zarco win was just, and then, Cotteraro on pole, like nuts. What a weekend for the French. But we'll get to it. Yeah. All right, for everyone, sprint race results. Marc Marquez first, Alex Marquez second, Fermín Aldeguer third, Fabio Cotteraro fourth, amazing effort. Maverick Vinales fifth off Fraud Watch, unbelievable. Sixth, I never thought I'd see the day. Johann Zarco sixth, an amazing weekend, sixth in the first, seriously. Digia 7th, Alex Rins 8th, Juan Mir 9th, and Rael Fernandez 10th in the sprint race. Had a really good result. And main race winners, Johann Zarco 1st, Marc Marquez 2nd, Aldeguer 3rd, Pedro Acosta 4th, Maverick Vinales 5th, Taka Nakagami 6th, unbelievable. Rael Fernandez 7th, Digia 8th, Lorenzo Savadori, our boy, in 9th, and Aigur in 10th. Like, just mayhem, as you said.
100%. Imagine the odds on trying to pick that trifecta if you're a betting man.
Mate, I would love to know if anyone...
$5 would pay off your house.
Yeah, it would. It really would. Ungettable. And then just, you know, like, there's so many talking points, but I guess the main one is, like, has to be Zarco. Like, you know, I want to say... Honda's back, and if Honda's truly back, I'll be wearing that hat right now, but there's a tiny little bit of an asterisk because it was a raining...
I think it's a big asterisk.
Wet... I'm Honda. I'm Mr. Honda, mate, all right? But like, you just got to... Hats off to him. Like, And, you know, Pecco, we'll talk about this, Pecco Bagnaia getting taken out, takes Zarco out. He runs through the gravel trap. Bang. And then he actually didn't use his launch control. Do you know about this, no, of Zarco? So he had such a shit start. If you watch that again, he just plummets because he didn't know if he got into the first quarter, there wasn't enough hard braking, which wouldn't disengage.
The front right hard.
Yeah, course. Yeah. So he just opted, I'm just going to play it safe. But then he got stuck on the outside and he knew when he was on the outside, there's always trouble, especially going into a chicane.
100%, especially when Bastianini's got something to do with it.
Bastianini came from about 20 meters back,
yep,
went on slick tires onto the wet curb. What do you think was going to happen? Takes out poor old Bagnaia, then takes out Juan Mir, who fractured his wrist. That's just come out.
Oh, no.
Which he does not need and Honda does not need. And then Zarco was so lucky to stay on, skipped across the gravel and kept on his merry way from last place.
Unbelievable. The pace actually on the first lap was, despite the different varying tyres, it seemed a bit similar.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't night and day.
Yeah.
But obviously with the riders pulling back in again, they're all deciding different things.
It was just mayhem. And you're saying that, and I kind of already forgot that there's just so much to talk about, that they were on different tyres.
That was what was really cool. Different tyres. So they obviously made a late decision.
Yeah.
But with that new double long lap, they still start the full grid.
That's a good thing.
It's great.
I think it's good. I think Danby sent me a message. Sorry, Danby. I didn't read all of it. I was driving. But he said, is it harsh enough where, and I might be butchering this, is it the penalty harsh enough? Because a double long lap, if you're on the right tyre, is so achievable to make up that pace. You know, so it's
versus
it's,
a ride through.
Yeah, yeah, top. Yeah. Something like that. So, and you know, if you're on the right tire, that lap is already, you're already making up. It could be up to half a minute. You know, so much faster. It's all variable. It's depending on question.
Was it what race was it when Miller started at the front? Was that Nassen or something?
When he was all the way at the front.
Yeah,
Argentina,
yeah. And that. I was so pissed off because I felt like they all should have started from pit lane.
Yeah,
but they
obviously
can't.
Well, you know why that happened, right?
I wanted at least a 15-second penalty.
You know why that happened? Because in Sachsenring the year before, they had the similar issue and everyone's three quarters of the field started from pit lane, but it was pit lane where they were on the rev limiter taken off and there was no... it was whoever got to that green, the first quarter. was the one. Then, so they made their own grid position. Then you could see them all. There was eight of them in there, just on the rev limiter and then dumping the clutch straight out of the pit lane, which was so dangerous. And then Dorna or FIM, whoever makes the rule, said, nah, we're going to have it. So it's Jack Miller four rows in front for some random reason.
They needed two light sequences, one for Jack and one for the others.
That's a good idea.
That would have at least, similar result, but probably a more...
That's a good idea. Yeah. 100%. So getting back to it, I love the double, the long lap, I think is one of the best things MotoGP has put in. I think a lot of the listeners would agree. It just works so well. It works in Moto3, it works in Moto2. So it's good. But getting back to Zarco, it has to be, we've just had this emotional win of Alex Marquez and Jerez. Finally seeing him do that. But Zarco was another level again, in front of 311,000 French fans.
Yeah. Couldn't be better. And he's such a likable guy.
Isn't he?
I'd be surprised if somebody could say, I didn't like him. Or, comment.
Yeah.
I'd love to see someone say, I can't handle that guy. He's a legend. Two backflips one weekend. That was cool.
Yeah. 100%. It's very cool. And then you saw, what was so cool about that is his celebration. He stops on the main straight with his team and then takes off, does his thing, takes his helmet off, and you could just see he's visibly crying.
Yeah.
The whole grandstand's chanting him
That photo on Republica that you posted or would have reshared of him stopped at the wall. That is an iconic photo.
Yeah, iconic.
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah.
The vision of his parents.
Yes.
The dad is just... absolutely beside himself, and apparently that was the mum's first race she's watched.
Yep.
Don't think it'll be the last.
I know.
I think he might have her along to more.
17 years of Grand Prix, it was the first one she's ever been to.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And his old man, you know how he's toothless? He lost his tooth 3 days before. And the story was that he's like, I'm going to make sure not smile too much. You know, I don't want to smile too much. People will... And then the
dude... think his mouth was closed the whole time.
There was like three flies in there, I reckon. His mouth was open that much. Yeah. So, God, it was just insane. Like, the amount of messages we obviously got, like our phones, like I was speaking to Tom today, like our phones were blowing up all night. Like, it was just insane. And just to see, it is, as you said, it's so deserved with Zarko. Like, and I love talking about the racing gods. I just felt like the racing gods just smiled on him that day.
The other thing too is to remember is that credit to him too, because he continued to extend his advantage throughout the whole race.
Yeah. You know, yeah, he did.
8 seconds,
yeah.
Or so, 4, 8, and then... And obviously Marquez made a decision to not chase him,
yeah,
for obvious reasons, and just managed to gap to Alex.
Yeah.
But he still continued to put in the solid times, and on a wet tire that had done sort of 7 laps more, yeah, than others.
Yeah, yeah,
that was,
yeah,
pretty cool.
Amazing. 100%. Great. That's a great point. And, you know, when it was at 8 seconds, Marquez tried to close, and he just said, nah. Like, he came out and said, I've crashed in Austin. I've crashed in Jerez. I can't do it again. He's like, I just had to concentrate,
yeah,
and I just had to get the job done. And 20 points for the championship for him is a win. Yeah. Like, he's now 20 points ahead of Alex Marquez, who unfortunately crashed, and Bagnaia twice. Yeah. And then Bagnaia, who obviously got taken out, which wasn't his fault of his own, but had an absolutely terrible weekend. But with Marc Marquez, like, all credit goes to Zarco. Marquez wasn't going to catch him. He pulled it out to a 20-second lead. And you just have to understand, like, you know, us mere mortals would never understand, but the concentration that these guys would have to have, either being Zarco, there's two different types of pressures, right? There's a pressure of Zarco in his home race on a Honda thinking this could be his only chance of winning again, and he's going to be the first Frenchman to win in France in like 70 years. So you've got that pressure. Then you've got the Marquez pressure of just binned it 2 times in 5 races. I can extend my lead here. I can't crash again. I'm, yep, thinking about the championship. It's so they're both riding their own race, but such a different race at the same time.
It's one of those times it's nice to just be sitting watching it on the screen.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Not having to deal with that.
Not having to deal with that. That's where they earn their money, and like the concentration those guys must have had. And Zarco said it so many times. He said it was the longest race of his life. And what was funny, and you picked up on this as well, is when Zarco was leading the race for about 3 laps, and then the crowd found out, and then just randomly the crowd just went crazy.
Bananas. You could hear it, couldn't you? It was hard to know who was leading at different times.
You didn't know. None of us knew.
It was like a bit of a Formula One with the pit stops, yep, and like, you know, so a new car comes around, but
yep,
are they really leading or...
Yeah, you know. Alex Marquez like was leading for a bit, I think, and then we didn't know if he had another long lap to do. Like, it was just all crazy, but
also
it just worked.
Also seeing like Bez bags all being overtaken or lapped.
Yeah.
And I don't know that for various reasons, but it's still just a funny look seeing a bike race past them.
It never, being lapped just doesn't happen anymore really these days. Back in the 2-stroke days it did. And even in the early 4-stroke days, they kind of did. But these days, like, everyone's so close. It just doesn't happen. Like,
100%.
You're so right. It was a weird thing to see. But the championship now, like, Zarco, amazing, amazing effort. Like, no one, everyone's so happy. I don't think, you know, no one can be mad, as you said. Yeah. But the championship now, like, is just ominous. You got 20 points. You got Marc Marquez is 20 points ahead of Alex. And then you got Bags, who's 50 points down on Mark. How do you claw that back if you're Bagnaia? Like, how do you do that against Mark?
I just don't think he can. Yeah. It's just not going to happen. He'll be there or thereabouts all year.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. He's obviously an awesome rider.
Mm.
But he's not gelling with that bike.
No.
And Marquez is.
Yeah.
Alex Marquez is.
Yeah.
You know, Morbidelli, I think he sucked this weekend. But
yeah. Past two weekends,
but he's found speed on it.
Yeah.
So
to come out of that is basically the 24, from what Ducati riders are saying, if you read between the lines, and what the journos are saying and what you can hear out of the paddock, is the 24 is the best bike on the grid.
Yep.
So that's the most rideable bike. So Alex Marquez is proving that. He's riding Bagnaia's bike. Fermín Aldeguer is proving that. You look at even Morbidelli's found something, but he's up and down. So it's...
And Mark's just riding around the problems as only Mark can.
Mark's riding around the problems because they're saying that the bike's actually quite stiff, and obviously all prototype bikes are, but you don't want to go down just developing the bike then under Mark because you're just doing another
Get
Honda.
You nowhere.
Exactly. 100%. He's the worst test rider. He's the worst development rider in the world. So
Ducati's focus has to be getting everybody else quick on that bike.
Yes.
And let Mark do Mark.
Yes, exactly. Because he'll ride around it. And he obviously is. And it's just showing how much talent Mark Marquez has. Like, undoubtedly, he's just godly. You know, it is. Bagnaia is struggling and they don't want to put him back on the 24, and they can't anyway with the 25 engine to the 24 chassis. It doesn't work. That doesn't mount.
Yep.
So just Bagnaia just has to, and as like Tardozzi says, he came out and said he just has to get gel with it. He has to get used to it. He has to learn to ride his bike however way he does it. And it must be so frustrating for Bagnaia, and you never really see Bagnaia rattled. And even going into a new weekend, I don't think he's still... He can still come out for me and still win. Like, he's always rock solid.
Yeah, but he'll have weekends.
He'll have weekends.
Yep, but
this 25 bike is seeming like they haven't... It's the first time Ducati hasn't taken a step forward. So, Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right, you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So, I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV, or controversially like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want, brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom, but that is they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you.
Yeah. And do you know what I reckon? I think Bagnaia will be looking at Marquez's data, trying to make heads or tails of it. And that's probably just leading him down the garden path because Mark's data won't make sense to anyone.
Yeah. That's a great, great call. And
to not look at Mark's data.
It's almost like you just kind of got to worry about yourself and look at everyone else's data because Marquez is just in another league of his own. Like, and it just must be incredibly difficult, you know.
With that Australian tall poppy type thing.
Yeah.
I'm stoked that Ducati's win streak is over.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm just stoked. It's just that they had so many bikes on the grid. I know they're dominating. It's the bike to be on and all that sort of stuff. And I know that, you know, the Hondas had a win with the asterisk, let's call it.
Yeah.
But I'm stoked.
Isn't that kind of funny though? Like Honda, who they're gonna beat their title. Honda's the one to beat them. They haven't won in forever, and they beat Marc Marquez, who's gone from a Honda to a Ducati. Like, it's just a funny thing, isn't it, how it works? All right, let's call Tom, because Tom's waiting for us. He's spewing. He's missing this pod. He's absolutely spewing. Hopefully with... there we go. Tomislav. Oi. What's going on with Age?
How are you, big man? What's going on?
You nervous this time? You been alright?
No, much better this time. But I needed a booster seat.
The most confident man I know has been pacing.
That's for all our listeners that didn't know, Age, the most confident, outgoing person we've ever met did our Thailand pod and was pacing up and down, freaking out. And Tom and I were like, what was going on? Like, we were shocked. Tom and I still talk about that. Fuck, it's so funny.
I didn't know what to do with myself. It was like 20 minutes until we went, and I just was like packing bags and walking around. Like, I think I changed t-shirts like five times.
You did say that. Tell me, where'd you watch the race?
Alright, so no bar, couldn't find a bar at all. Like, I don't even know what MotoGP here is in Tokyo. It was ridiculous.
Is that why they don't have any good Japanese riders besides Nakagami on the weekends?
That's probably a good point. But okay, so I had to get a VPN. VPN changed to Australia.
For KO.
Foxtel Go, because KO know you're on VPN, so I had to go on Foxtel Go. I'm watching this thing on 480p, like not even HD. I'm talking 480p. My phone cooked halfway through the race. I had to refresh it, take the VPN off, put it back on. It was a fucking nightmare, but what a fucking race.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was insane.
Oh, my God. Like, it had everything, didn't it?
It had everything. It was one of the most exciting races you're ever going to watch.
Like, I have to, like, that's a rewatch when I get home. Like, I have to rewatch it, analyze it. What could have been for Pecco? What could have been for Jack Miller as well?
Yeah, great call, great point.
Both on wets.
Oh, Jack Miller, he was. I reckon he had it. I reckon he would have been him.
Or was him and Zarco was in a similar situation? It was just that Miller, obviously, binned it.
So
was Miller tagged or did it? Was it all on his own?
On his own.
The biggest thing that I have taken out of that is like how jealous we are of the French and their patriotism.
Yeah. Such
how
a dumb answer.
Amazing that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the attendance at the event.
The attendance is just another level, isn't it? Yeah. And like you look at every corner where there could be people sitting.
There are.
There's people sitting or standing, isn't there?
Yep.
Yeah.
You just got to remember to take care.
311,000 or something like that. I mean, and for a French rider to win 71 years, I mean, fuck. I mean, you couldn't write a script. They're going to write a movie about that one day. I mean, it was unbelievable. And the parents were there. The dad went out the tube. The mum's never seen a race before.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it just, it pulls at the heartstrings, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sepsi was on tearing up, apparently. You were like that.
Well, we had Christian, one of our followers, said he was crying at the end of the race. Fucking crazy. How good's motorsport, seriously?
It's the best. It was it was insane.
Have you guys discussed the, like, what happened at the start? Like, realistically, what's the go with the rule? I mean, was it fair, like, the double long lap?
Oh, did Danby message you that?
Well, no, I've got it on my points. I just didn't get it because I was, for me at home, I'm thinking, a double on lap just didn't seem like a far enough punishment. So,
well, the problem with this double long lap thing is it's all variable conditions. So it could be a hard enough punishment if it works for both tires almost, or one set of tires. So like, unfortunately, it's variable conditions, and I just don't know how you're gonna fix that.
Yeah, it's but why? What I want to know, why can't they just start with wets?
Everyone.
Yeah,
like, and then and stop the race and postpone the race.
Why do they have to do that? Like, why can't, like, someone start on wet, someone start on dry? It's like they have to go, it's a wet race or it's a dry race. Like, why can't there be mixed tyres at the start of the race?
Well, they did,
like,
that. Why? That was at the race. Half were on wets, half were on slicks.
No, they were all on dries and then they came and pitted in. That's what happened at the start of the race.
You definitely need to rewatch
it. You need to rewatch it.
So
that's the 480p, bro.
480p.
Got ya.
Too many pixels.
Yeah, yeah. So they were half on slicks, half on wets. Then they came back in. Some went back. It's confusing, but half on the start of the race, when the lights went out, half are on slicks, half are on wets.
No, I'm talking about the very start of the race, okay?
Yeah.
The formation lap, very start of the race.
Yep. Every they all pulled in.
Was on dry tires.
Yes, okay. You're right.
And they all came in.
To tell you. So what happened is they were all on dry. They all pulled in. Every single rider pulled in.
Yeah.
They all went back out on wets.
Yeah.
And on the way back around, half of them pulled in and swapped the slicks again.
So why can't, at the very, very start of the race, some start on wets? Why do they all start on dries? Because they have to.
Yeah,
depending on what the race was declared.
Yeah. Like, why do they have that rule? Why can't, say, from the very start, when the race was about to start at the 2 p.m. mark, Why can't some go on dries, some go on wets? So I just don't.
They're all trying to hide their strategy though a little bit, aren't they?
Yeah, because so Marquez pulled back, and I was actually focusing on him when they were doing that, and he pulled right back to about three quarters behind, like back into the pack, and then he came out afterwards and said, "Well, Alex is my main championship rival. I'm doing exactly what he's doing, not doing a Jorge Martin and going straight into the pits like in the Sano."
Yeah, I think no reason. Already the same. He went to like the back of the grid. To wait to see what everyone was doing. So I don't know. I just like in F1, for example, if the start of the race, some can start on dry, some can start on wets, and then the race just starts. Where in MotoGP, you declare it as a wet race, or you declare it as a dry race, and then they have to start on that tire. I just don't get that.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. It's a good point. I'm not too sure.
So I don't know if that, because obviously they have to change bikes. Is it dangerous? Like I don't know. I don't understand that at all. But
one thing that was cool, I mean, you're right what you're saying, but one thing, this was the first time we've ever seen a race start with people on multiple different tyres that I didn't think of. For that reason.
Yeah.
And I suppose that does create an element of danger to some degree. I don't know, but it was great that they all started on the same grid.
Yeah, I think so as well. And like, it's just...
you're actually right there, because it was dangerous, because Pecco was on the wrong tyre, was going so slow into that first corner, and then he got taken out, obviously, by Bastianini, that it caused so many different... Like, they're all going at different speeds.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point.
They'll be working through this, this week.
Yeah.
And who knows?
Yeah. Tom and I know. They'll have a different answer. Not Fran, not Dorna, Tommy. It's FIM. They'll figure it out.
FIM. Yeah. But that's actually... Probably, I'll just probably answer my own question. It's probably too dangerous for them to have mixed... tires, because there's just so many different speeds going into that first corner.
And it's not like these guys have roll cages or something either, or halos. Like, they're in the elements.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, how's Pecco? I mean, that was the other big story. Just, he's the only rider. Is this for a stat, James? And age? Pecco is the only rider in the whole grid that didn't score a point that weekend.
No shit. Didn't know that.
So he finished 16th in the main race, and then obviously cucked it in the sprint. So there's a bit of a hot tip for you.
Yeah, I like that. That's interesting. Far out.
The Japanese tip bit, we call that.
And Nakagami outscored him.
That's fucked, isn't it?
He's laughing.
How does that happen?
He's laughing. He's How laughing.
How many Salvadoris in the top 10? I mean, like, that's the kind of race just you'll never forget.
So. Yeah. We're blessed by the racing gods, as I like to say.
And your mate Bez.
Bez.
I suppose you guys have got lots to talk about tonight, so.
Yep. Yes, we do, mate. Going to be huge.
To listen in.
Thank you. And, mate, enjoy. I'll see you for next week anyway.
Yes, I'll be back for Imola Formula One this weekend. Sad news about Jack Doohan, obviously.
We'll talk about that.
Probably the right decision, and Flavio Briatore back in the hot seat as a team principal, which is another crazy point. So we'll cover that all next week.
Yeah, and one last thing. I think we were speaking about this as well, Age. All these death threats on Jack Doohan.
Yeah, so Kim Illman sort of broke that story on his YouTube. And he's obviously the Argentinians get on the old... on the old internet and death threats and all sorts of stuff. So, bit of an unusual one there. But we didn't know that was going on.
Do you reckon that was influenced by the the weird migration from 1945?
Possibly, but like a Top Gear conspiracy.
Yeah, Top Gear conspiracy. Yeah. One last thing. Have you seen any more Idemitsu servos?
No, they're all Ineos.
Yeah, right.
Ineos. Which is a major sponsor of Yamaha, just as a bit of a confusion. So, don't know what's going on there. Now, one thing I want to discuss as well, and I'll leave you with this to discuss, there's rumours that that Jorge Martin wants out of his contract at the end of the year.
What? Where'd you hear this? Yeah. What's so...
They just broke about 20 minutes ago that he had a meeting with Aprilia, at Le Mans, and he wants out of the contract. So part of the contract is that he had to be in the top three in the World Championship by Le Mans.
Yeah.
He has an out of his contract. So that's the word on the street.
If he's not in the top three, he's got an out in his contract, like a clause.
Correct.
Has he done three laps?
It was a two-year contract, first year performance-based. So Autosport just broke that news 20 minutes ago. So,
Curdy.
Yeah, no, I'm seeing that as well. It's about 50 minutes ago.
Get a little anime Curdy onto it. And then discuss that on the pod because I want to hear about it.
Cool. Thank you very much. Perfect. Enjoy.
All right, see you, boys. Have a good
one. See you, mate.
See you, mate. Enjoy.
Bye. That's huge. Far out. Lucky we spoke to Tom. What do we got, Curdy? ChatGPT, summarize 100 words, please.
No. The agreement signed by Aprilia and the reigning world champion last year at the Italian GP currently holds no binding effect for the second season. Understands that in version accepted by Aprilia, Martin's representatives included a clause granting him full freedom to accept offers from other teams if he was not among the title contenders after last Sunday's French GP at Le Mans.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So Jorge Martin allegedly wants out of his contract, which is absolutely news to us. Mate, blindsiding.
Part of me is sort of thinking like who'd want him, but obviously lots of people would want him. He's an amazing motorcycle rider.
Yeah.
You know, is it the Aprilia's fault that he's kept hurting himself?
No.
No, not really. I mean, he did it in training.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
The motorbike.
Doesn't make sense.
I mean, he actually crashed it in testing too, didn't he?
He crashed it like on his 13th lap in Sepang. So it doesn't make sense, Curdy.
I'm trying to think, would it be more financial that he's looking towards at this point?
Oh, you think just you want to back up a world championship. Like he's not getting paid as much, nowhere near as much as Quartararo or Mark. Yeah, but I think he's still like, I think, and look, this is a lot of money. Like I think he's still like, I think he's on like 2.5-3 mil. From Aprilia,
where it's not much.
Quartararo, Bagnaia, I think's on like 6.
Well, Honda's prepared to pay double that just to get Acosta out of his contract.
Yeah. And Honda's got a checkbook. They offered Marc Marquez 100 mil. So like, I don't know. There's who knows what this means or how true it is. I don't want to go too hard into it.
He's getting about 3.5 million euro per year.
Aprilia. That's only half of bags. So, and Aprilia's never been, you know, cashed up.
No, they've got the least amount of sponsors on their bike as well. So, I'm sure they don't have much at all.
That, and they need to sell a lot of Vespas and Moto Guzzis.
Yeah. And who the fuck's buying them?
And,
So, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me why he would do that. Like, he hasn't even had a real go. He hasn't even had a go. So, but maybe he thinks, maybe he's talking to Bears. I don't know, like, I doubt that. I don't know who he's talking to, or he's just like, you know, I need to be back on a Ducati. Like, I got to be on a Ducati. But if you're a factory Ducati, I still think you would choose Bags, you know?
The relationship's broken down with Martin and Bagnaia and Ducati anyway.
Yeah.
At the high end.
Yeah.
So to be a satellite team.
It just doesn't make, I don't know. Unless he's talking to Alation. He's like, fuck, I'm going to Honda. But that's not going to happen.
I think he's still best on Aprilia and seeing it out and giving it a crack.
Give it just a crack.
Just try and finish a race, bro.
Yeah, just don't injure yourself and don't follow what Bez is doing because he's on
trying to renegotiate the deal with Aprilia, maybe.
Yeah, but what do you got? No chips.
Leverage.
Yeah, there's no leverage.
Oh, who knows at this point in time?
But again, who knows how? Where does smoke this fire though? It always is, but.
Well, coming up to silly season, guys. So who the hell knows what's going to happen next?
Silly season's
The last silly season was the most
intense
ever. Yeah, I feel like there'd be a few more, there'd be less contracts expiring this year.
I think it's only one. I think it's like Binder or Luca Marini or something like that. It's one of those ones. Hey. Nah, Vin's on for two. So. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, like, we're deep in Europe now, and this is where, like, everything happens. The cream rises to the top, as we say. Bags, we just don't know what's going to happen. Like, he's going to have to dig himself out of that hole. I've got a note here. Tardozzi thinks Pecco's overthinking and riding the bike and just lacking a bit of confidence. So, obviously, that's going to be true, but... It seems like Marquez is just so experienced at riding around a problem. He's made a career out of doing that. Doesn't develop the bike. He just rides around the problem.
Confidence comes from results too. You can't just tell someone to be more confident.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the the results need to come and the confidence will build.
Yeah.
Very tricky.
Very tricky. And then, you know, it doesn't help when Bastianini, as he says, comes from 30 rows back and slides out underneath you, you know. So it's good. What do you think of Yamaha? Cordararo, sprint does amazing, puts it on pole again. Watching someone override a MotoGP bike is amazing. And you kind of can't see that with the Ducatis because they're so refined and stiff. But like Yamaha is still an old school MotoGP bike to a degree, where you're watching him just like sending it into a corner.
100%.
And like
he earned his money this weekend.
Didn't he ever? Sure. Didn't 100%. He copped a 2,000 euro fine. And how's this for a penalty? A 2,000 euro fine. And he has to miss the first 10 minutes for disobeying the marshals after the race or during the race. That's the penalty. What a shit penalty, man.
2,000 euros.
And miss 10 minutes of FP. Why do you give a fuck? Put your legs up. It could be raining. Then it wouldn't matter anyway.
Yeah. That is such an interesting penalty.
What a weird penalty. He cracked it at the marshals, though. It was very funny. And I understand why. He wants to win. How do you think he would be feeling watching Zarco? Would you reckon he have tall poppy syndrome?
It'd be tough. It's funny. Yamaha really dominated the weekend from that perspective.
Yeah.
But Honda, we're all talking about Honda.
Yeah.
Your cap's out. You're in your Repsol top.
Yeah.
But Cordararo was on fire.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
You can't fault him. Obviously, he made the mistake in the main race, but like, bro, like it's the trickiest of all tricky conditions. It's dry, it's not dry. We were saying on the TV, you couldn't tell if it was dry or wet.
No.
Like it was just
only towards the end you started to get that real sensation that it was really wet.
Yeah.
But for the first 17 laps, I found it really hard to see that it was wet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I was even saying during the race, I'm like, it's like the French have a curse on Le Mans, kind of like Australia does, have it at Albert Park, and then bang, Zarco goes out, breaks the curse and wins. So
100%.
It's
great.
Just great to see. It really is. The emotions were insane. But you're right, like everyone's talking about Honda still. Like they're just such a big, it's always just going to be eyeballs on them no matter what. But seeing like Lucio Cecchinello, such a cool cat, win again, you know, the last Honda win for him was with Alex Rins. I think it was the last Honda win before anyway, was Rins and Koda. So
you wouldn't see Tarotti or any of those guys over the pit wall telling their rider to slow down, would you?
Yeah, like, I know. Crazy.
Such a Cecchinello move.
Such a Cecchinello move. And like, imagine being Zarco then watching him. Like, you'd be freaking out anyway. Then he's telling you to slow down. Like,
it's the last thing you need.
Last thing you need. So, question for you. Who do you think has more upside this year and into the future? Is it Furman or is it Aigura?
After this weekend, you have to say Furman. It's an interesting question. I think obviously the Ducati is going to help. Aigura's come out guns blazing. He's really exciting to watch. I'm loving that.
Yeah.
And he's, again, the only guy that can really get that Aprilia to turn, stop and whatnot.
Mm.
But Furman's coming on. You can feel it building.
Yeah.
Danby made a great point last week that the rookies don't have that reference and that they just send it, whatever they've got.
Yeah.
And I do somewhat agree with that, but speed is speed. They're racing against guys that have been on the same bike year in, year out.
Yeah,
And they're still, you know, getting top 5, 6, and 7. So, but I feel like Furman's building.
Yeah, 100%. He's building.
For sure.
One to watch. Cody, can you do me a favor for a sec? Because I completely forgot to do it. Can you get the Moto3 and Moto2 results up for me? You're going to be reading them out, which is going to be fun. But you're right. I think, because I had Furman for my Rookie of the Year. I just don't think you can go past that Ducati. He's got Frankie Carchetti as his crew chief. He's on a 24 bike, which we now know is, like, let's be honest, probably the best bike on the grid. He's obviously got the speed. He just has to keep it together, which he did in Le Mans, and especially in tricky conditions. And I've said this so many times, I would love to see him in a Costa swap and just see what the results are, because I want to know how much of the Ducati is it. And again, like, you still can't take away from Furman, because he's beating Digia and he's beating Morbidelli now, and they're so experienced, especially Frankie Morbidelli. So
correct. And that, like, Danby's point was good, but it's not that they don't have a reference.
Yeah.
That's just experience and time on the bike.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Which ones do you want first?
Are you got them both up?
I got them both up.
Oh, beautiful. I'll tell you in a sec. I'll tell you when we're ready.
All right. I'll let you know. Make sure it's
2025 Le Mans, please.
I'm seeing 1989. Sorry.
One thing you just reminded me of was Quartararo led Le Mans. What year did he crash at the lead? Where's Danby when you need him?
I know. He's Rain Man. I'm going to say he crashed out of the lead 2021. Something like that. I think he was on the full factory bike by then. And it wasn't 2020.
That's that curse that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the curse. Yep. It's 100%. Like, yeah. And then, yeah. But that's just racing. Morbidelli, do you think... How do you see... He's shown a lot. He's had a couple of podiums and he's had two stinkers. Do you see him... charging through, like, do you still see him being consistent top sixes, or like,
he's one of those inconsistent guys.
Can't gauge him.
He's inconsistent. You forget that he was runner up to a world championship.
Yeah,
1 year.
I know.
He's
2019.
Yeah, he's got pace. He's one of those guys that I would be scared to ride around him.
Mm.
I don't think that he's got too much more to offer, if I'm completely honest with you. I mean, we talk about Jack Miller.
Yeah.
I know that Morbidelli's got more speed than him. There's probably a few riders out there that, I mean, even Zarco, to be fair, like, unlikely to win the championship. There might be a chance at a wet race or something like that. They deserve to be there, sure, but we've got good talent coming through as well.
There's so much talent coming through. He's just an interesting one because I think, okay, you've had two shit weekends on the best bike basically on the grid. Like, you got to start pulling results, and you can't be out of that top 10 on that bike. You need to be like top 6 on that bike, you know. So, like, he's had a good start to the season, but he's just one to watch because I'm not 100% sold. And now you've got like Maverick, who's consistent top 6 now. Where does that come from? And for everyone, he's actually off our fraud watch. Unbelievable. Oh, he's off our fraud watch.
He's not unblocked you though.
He will never unblock. Oh, look, you never know. We might make peace. Might reach out the olive branch. But, like, so he should be ahead of them. So, he's just one to watch. He's definitely just one to watch. He's on the VR46 bike. We all know, and probably that's why he's there. But he needs to be there.
Does feel like KTM are sort of just slowly piecing it together, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, Mav. So, they're all KTM. So... we spoke about it last week and the week before. They were on four different bikes. Four riders, four different bikes. Maverick's clearly got the setup. This weekend, Binder and Acosta has completely copied that setup. So you got three of them on the same bike and the Beast doing his own thing, taking people out on his lonesome. So Maverick still has the pace over these guys. He was held up during the race as well, which would have pissed him off. I still can't trust him. I still can't trust anything that KTM's doing. I just can't. But, like, he's pulling results. So, what can you do? Like, you just got to let it play out and see what happens. But as the year progresses and other teams maybe, like, I don't even think other teams are going to go past them. I don't think Yamaha or Honda are. And Aprilia are nowhere. Like, they've gone backwards the most. So, I just don't see... It's just I don't know with KTM. I don't have an answer.
No.
I'd love to say that I would have this grand prediction, but there's none.
Yeah. It does feel a little bit like they're gonna be, you know, there or thereabouts at some circuits.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be more track dependent. You know, whereas the Ducatis can seem to be top 6 almost everywhere.
Yeah.
So
exactly right. If all the Ducati riders just have a half decent weekend, they are. Where KTM, like, you gotta give it to Mav though. Like, he's always had so much ability and potential, and I think what's let him down is it's all been in between the years, like, try to blow up that Yamaha. He's been aggressive, like, just in his own head, and it's clear everyone knows that. It's
so emotional.
We're not breaking news here, like, everyone knows that. It's just, but he's doing the right thing on that KTM and he's riding smart. Like, there's nothing more else that he could be doing, I don't think, for that bike than what he is doing. So, like, it's credit, really. It's credit. Like, you know, Acosta seems to be hating it. Binder's just throwing it down the road, and Bastianini's just nowhere.
Binder's one that I've always thought could sort of ride around a problem too, and he's now unable to, you know?
There's a lot of talk that they went too hard developing the bike around Brad Binder, and
he's a bit of a Marquez in some ways, isn't he?
A little bit, yeah. Where
unique riding style,
yep.
Big time backing it in,
which is awesome. Like in Austria, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
but it just doesn't work for every rider, and I think now they're trying to go down this path of Ducati of building that bike where everyone can ride, which doesn't seem like the craziest thing to do. I don't know why they all haven't done that, but. I think they just put all their chips on Binder and it just hasn't worked. Like they've had a couple of false dawns, but it's just never happened. And now they've had this whole situation. So I don't know, man. Like it's, again, I will never be able to pick it.
Jimmy, let's talk protection, because what you wear actually matters in a crash. Nemium armored leggings have a 3-star impact protection, 4-star comfort, and the thinnest CE level 2 armor available. More protection, less bulk.
Tommy, one of the many reasons I love this product is because of the comfort. You can wear these Nemium leggings underneath like your jeans, your normal chino pants, mate. When I'm riding, I don't want to be dressed up like a stiff motorcycle rider wearing leather everywhere. I want to be wearing my normal jeans, getting a coffee, whatever, looking cool. I love how these leggings just go under everything seamlessly and you just fit in with the normal crowd.
I mean, there's no overheating, there's no stiffness, and look, we really believe in this product.
Yep.
It's MotoCap tested. It's proven to have a 5.42 second slide time. These things are very, very hard to get in this industry. Serious riders wear Nemium. Upgrade your ride at Nemium.clothing.
I love it. And use code NEMIUMREPUBLICA for 10% off.
Now back to the podcast.
It makes you appreciate how good Ducati were when they came and joined MotoGP at the start.
Yeah.
Because KTM are a company who are all about winning, and they have flogged a dead horse, haven't they? They've just been given, you know, they've done everything in their power and they just can't seem to get on top of it.
They can't. Like, Ducati came in 2003, bang, Caparossi wins a race, Bayless, consistent podiums, Caparossi, consistent podiums. 2004, they built a shitter of a bike, Ducati, and then they went back to the 03 bike. But, like, you're coming in now, like, it's KTM has just taken so long to get to where they are. And then Aprilia came in as dog shit bike. And we all know that. We all knew it took time to develop it. But, you know, last year, they had a couple of goes.
Remember the old Cube?
The Cube. Colin Edwards almost burnt him alive.
He jumped off it.
One of the best looking bikes of all time, though.
And sounding.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, I don't know. There's so much has come out of Le Mans, and it's obviously all been, you know, done a death as well, but just this is why we love motorsport as well. Like, it's so exciting. You know, you can't compete with that.
No, it's the best.
The best. All right, Curdy, you're up, mate. Moto2 results, Le Mans 2025. What have we got, big dog? Get it going.
All right. First place, Manuel Gonzalez.
Yep, our
second,
boy.
Barry Baltos. Third, Aaron Canet. 4, Diogo Moreira. 5, Jake Dixon. 6, Albert Arenas. 7, Philip Salak. 8, Celestino Vietti. 9, Ivan Ortolo. Oh, I don't know how to pronounce this.
10, you can just do it in Australian.
Alonso Lopez. I'm just putting an accent on.
Oh, no, I like it.
Loving it.
I wouldn't do that. That's a man of confidence right there. Curdy's a man of confidence.
Senna Agius came 14th.
Beautiful. He had a long night penalty as well, Senna. So at least he got in the points.
Getting the points.
And so Moto3, Moto2 dry.
Yes.
Thereabouts.
Yeah. Mm. Which is like it wasn't a bad race. Canet almost launched himself into the moon a couple of times, but. You know, it's just Manu Gonzalez, man. Like, he's just an awesome story. Pod favorite, one of our boys. But an awesome story where he's come from Supersport 300 as well, and you know, was in that VR46 Master Camp team. I remember speaking to him in MotoGP. He was helping the team pack up, putting stuff on the pallets. Like, such a humble, good guy. So it's so good to see him just doing so well, and he's just. You know, smashing it. He's clearly the fastest guy out there on, you know, seems to be one of the best bikes as well. So
100%.
This is where it's just interesting, and Tom and I like to talk about it. seeing these guys come through, like in Moto 2 and Moto 3 as well, these flyaway races, Adrian, like you normally see sometimes some weird or wacky results, but you always see the consistent guys through Europe. They know the tracks, they know the conditions, and like Jake Ditson won a couple races through, you know, Argentina or Cota, wherever it was. But to see Manu Gonzalez, realistically, he seems like he's going through Europe now, and he's just going to kind of just try and steamroll everyone.
It does feel a bit like he's to lose. He's definitely consistent.
Yeah,
always top three.
Awesome. Yeah, always top three. So it's going to be a long season for these guys, and hopefully they can that he can keep it up. And Senna, he's up and down. He's a bit of a yo-yo. So, but again, like it still would have been tricky conditions out there, because I bet you they still had raindrops on their visors halfway through that race.
Yep, and as I've heard you guys discuss on previous pods, like that is some serious hard fought category racing.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard.
It's hard. Exactly right. Like someone's got to finish 10th, 11th, 12th, or 15th, 16th, 17th. And like the guys that are racing is just all names. Like they're all names. They're all fast. Guevara's like, bro, he's like 16th and he's a Moto 3 world champion. Juan Macia couldn't hack it for a year. I think he should still be in the paddock. He's now in Super Sport 600. Like the talent there is crazy. Barry Bottas has been slogging it out for a couple of years, and now he got second, and he's having a great, great year, you know, on that fancy bike. So like, it's just amazing how things can turn for either the positive or the negative so quickly. And I don't understand what changes. Yeah. If it's the bike, if it's I think the crew chief is a massive one. I think the crew chief is huge. I've spoken to a couple riders in the paddock, and they've spoken about having a brand new crew chief, so their first ever year doing it, compared to someone who's been doing it for years and years that know what they're doing. And a very good example of that is DiGiantonio. So his first year, Grassini, he had a brand new crew chief that just didn't have the experience, didn't know what was going on.
Yep.
I guess couldn't read the data as well. His second year went to Frankie Carchetti, who's just been with a lot of the greats. Obviously, I think it was with Mark last year. And then that's what turned him around. And then he won those races, kept his seat. So I think that's a massive thing that a lot of people overlook, including myself, up until, you know, you get to know these people or you listen to the right things or speak to the right people, you know. So yeah,
we do see that relationship, can extends, and they the big names manage to take their crew chiefs with them. Like, they must understand the importance of the crew chief.
Yeah.
When they fight so hard to take them onto the next team with them.
It's amazing. Like, obviously, famously, Rossi did it and took his whole team from Honda to Yamaha, Yamaha to Ducati, just about. But then, like, Marquez, you know, he only took one person with him, I think one mechanic. And then, like, Santi Hernandez stayed in Honda, poor fella. So it's just, it's such a pivotal relationship that I don't think a lot of people understand. I really do think that it's such a team sport that we don't realize, but that crew chief is like your right hand man that can make or break you. And if you fuck that situation up, then, you know, you're in Super Sport 600 in the doldrums.
I had this thought watching Mir's bike sliding through the gravel pit again, just thinking that those mechanics are working real hard for their money. Like, I can just picture them walking around the paddock and sort of being laughed at by other mechanics and stuff, the amount of times I've had to rebuild that bike.
Bro, so funny you say that. Our boy Brent Stevens spoke exactly of that when we did our podcast with him. He goes, when I was at Yamaha back in 2001 or 2000 or whatever it was, he was Carlos Checa's mechanic. Carlos Checa was known having the most crashes every year. And then he used to speak to Alex Briggs and everyone who was at Honda with Valentino. And they used to laugh at him going, mate, like, you know, he's either in 6th or 7th or 8th or 10th.
The boys are out to dinner having a nice pasta somewhere, and the other teams...
Rebuilding bikes. So, and another big thing that comes out of that is the concessions. And we've spoken about this before, but a lot of mechanics or people just working in the team have to work overtime with these concession rules, because they have to do triple the amount of testing. They got to fly somewhere else. And this is not things people realize, you know.
You can imagine when they got the concessions, how happy they'd be to, you know, have them to help them develop the bike and get back on top, only to realize that that means triple the work.
Yeah, triple the work. Your time away from your family, if you got a young family, your kids, whatever, like it's a lot. And that's probably why it's definitely a single man's game, I reckon, a lot of those mechanics.
Yes.
Not a bad gig.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what me and Curdy need to do. Us single men. Curdy, what do you think? We'll go be a mechanic, fly around the world, massage in each country. All right, give me Moto 3 before it goes off the rails. Tommy would have backed me up on that one.
Moto 3 results. First place, Jose Antonio. Second place, Joel Kelso.
Oh.
Beautiful. Third place, David Munoz. I've not
Munoz.
Munoz. Fourth, Alvaro Carpe.
Keep the flavor going, but we want to hear the.
Fifth place, David Almanza. Oh, nice. Sixth, Tayo Furuzato. Seventh, Maximo Quiles. Eighth is Adrian Fernandez. Nine, Luca Luneta. Tenth, Valentin Peron.
Nice.
13th place, Jacob Ralston.
Oh, you got a couple points in the end. That's good.
You did. Lovely.
Good work. Kelso, Ace, this is you. This is you, mate.
Kelso, robbed.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely robbed. Munoz, that right in front of prick. Me.
Yep.
I was spewing. I was up and about.
You were?
Literally.
You're filming the whole thing. I think we got this live on film.
I filmed it. And, you know, look, I've seen a few comments saying that, you know, he ran a wide line and opened the door, but I think Munoz was coming no matter what.
Yeah.
He was coming.
Yeah, it was.
He was coming from way back.
Yeah.
And, I found that really tough to watch, and I really feel for Joel. I don't want to shout out and give him some props too, because when interviewed, you could see he was absolutely bitter and twisted and had every right to be, in my opinion. And he kept it together and he said, let's not talk about that, but let's take the positives out of the weekend and stuff. And I thought that was very big boy of him.
Very big boy. Yep. And I think, as you said as well, that's how you gain sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's how you show that, you know, you're not going to be bitter. Like, as much as you're going to want to be, and maybe you can get away with it more if you are a MotoGP superstar.
Yeah, losing at dummy spits is like getting big neck tats and being connected. Like, it's going to make your life a little harder.
It's a good point. And the thing is, like, bro, Munoz, like, he's known for this. And I don't know, like, I'm trying to really not be an Australian bias right now. I'm really not. Yeah. I know he's going to go for the gap, and I know that's what he's going to do. And I don't hate that. I really don't. I don't hate that.
No.
He deserved a penalty. But it just sucks because Rueda was right there just eating it up.
Yep.
And like, it, if...
Really, third was the position to be in on that last lap.
You have to be behind Munoz.
You know, you think it's second. But really, third turned out to be that one. But that's why Le Mans delivers those finishes.
Yeah.
You know, like that, and we just got another one. It's just a shame that it happened to an Aussie in this case. But the other thing is, Kelso, like, I don't feel like Munoz was like deliberately second that whole race. I didn't feel that anyway.
Mm.
I felt like Kelso in a couple of sectors managed to like 2-3 bike advantage.
You're 100% right. Going into the first chicane, Munoz and Rueda would close that gap, but then coming out of that whatever that right hander is out of that chicane back up the hill, he would gap him again. You're right. Two or three.
He had that really wide line.
Yeah.
Left hander.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And it was like, where are you going? But it just worked out for him.
It worked out. It was just his line. So, and it's really the first time as well you've kind of seen Joel control a race almost as well from the front, and it's amazing experience to get, as we were talking about last night. So,
I hope he does take from that the positives. I think he will.
Yeah.
Maybe tighten up that last corner next time. I don't think that's got everything. Yeah, like you said, I think he was coming.
Munoz was coming through no matter what. He was pushing his grandma out of the way to win that race. There's nothing stopping him. So, look, it's I don't know. It's racing. It really is. Did you see him?
Munoz came past like grabbing Kelso's hand or something, or vice versa at the end.
Yeah, I think.
And was that like a little apology or a little like, but
I don't know. They looked like they were both fine, if I'm going to be honest. They looked fine. Yeah.
Maybe he accepted that it was a bit of a racing move as well. Yeah. Not sure.
And the good thing about the stewards then is they like did the penalty straight away. Yep. It was done.
I'm all about that.
Which is great. Like, don't let Joel be in third place and then give him second after the podium ceremony. Like that. It's got to be done straight away. Yep. Nothing worse, exactly. So,
hey, on that, I was expecting more from Simon Crafar this year as
the head of stewards.
I thought that we were going to see like a little bit of like a decision made and potentially like a statement or something from him to explain why or something. I just thought he was going to bring a bit of what he gave
us
in pit lane in the stewards side of it.
Well, maybe he wanted to do that or didn't want to do that and someone shut it down. That's a great call. That would be interesting. How good would that be?
Sad to not have him down pit lane.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought, what we're going to gain here would be this, and unfortunately, it hasn't happened.
Massimo, I'm sorry. Massimo, he's big, so funny. But you're 100% right. Like, I agree. Mate, that's everything. Mr. Moto Heaven, I need to talk to you about this. This is one of the big reasons why you're on as well. Speak MotoGP. But you're a man that's been in the motorcycle industry. How long have you been in the industry for?
Since about 2000.
2000. 25 years. How old were you when you started?
19, 20.
How much has it changed in 25 years?
Lots. Like people were just buying motorbikes sight unseen, second hand, and like it was pretty loose, you know, to have a cigarette with someone at the front. They'd sign a contract that was just super chill. It was mum and dad retail everywhere.
Yes.
So there wasn't the chains. So like Peter Stevens was the big problem
that
everybody had. And they had, three stores.
Yeah.
And they were joining a distributor and that caused everybody all sorts of problems. And now, you know, that's sort of the business model now is that a lot of the distributors own these large retail stores that you would all know. And they're fantastic. Like there's a lot of items there, you know, and it's a big store and they look shiny. But at Moto Heaven, we're proud to have the largest range online. So we have actually more brands. There's a lot of things that people probably don't understand about a lot of that large retail is that there's different colored stickers on items.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to watch what I say here. But, you know, commissions are paid to sell certain items inside of stores.
Yeah.
And so you're not getting unbiased advice. You're getting, you know, a brand that's been distributed by that retailer in some cases.
Yeah.
Rightly or wrongly or whatever. I mean, it's not something I can have a say in anyway, but we're proud to do it our way. You know, we have, we try and do everything the best we can. We package stuff with care and love and respect and we sell the good brands. We dispatch quickly. You know, you talk to somebody, whether it be on the phone or email, it's right in Moorabbin, which is where our, we distribute from. You know, we've grown slowly over time. We're not trying to be Australia's biggest anything. We're just trying to do it well, do it, look after everybody. And, you know, I think if you check our Google reviews and that sort of thing.
Yeah, they're amazing.
You'll see that, you know, we are doing the right thing and that we do put the people first. And
I've actually, just on that, I've never seen a business with better Google reviews than Moto Heaven, funny enough. And I always try to look at them if I'm trying something new. But if you're ever interested, check it out because it is insane. Like, it is wild. It's amazing that people, it's hard enough to get people to do it, but they obviously just do it off their own bat. And then it's just like 5-star after 5-star after 5-star after 5-star. And like, you know, normally people, if they're leaving reviews, it's always a shit review anyway. So it's kind of bucked the trend
a
bit.
And look, we can still get a bad one. Like, it happens. We're humans.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do our best, but you still get the odd bad one. But, you know, we learn from that and we, you know, we might have done something wrong or we change a process and make sure that doesn't happen again and take that as an opportunity to learn and improve.
How do you find owning a business like that and being in the motorcycle industry and owning your own shop? Like, it must be stressful, but it must have a lot of reward as well. Like meeting a lot of people. I'm sure you've met a lot of people over your journey. Like it must be cool for our listeners as well to hear, you know, because they might just be an accountant or whatever, day in, day out. Like, you're living and breathing bikes.
Yeah, look, we've had organized some awesome events over. I've had the shop now. I started it when I was 24, so I'm 43. So 19 years is coming up. And we have held some awesome motorcycle rides. We've had sale events in it, the motorcycle expos and things. Mm. We've had MotoGP corporate marquees where we've had people down. Thank you. and, you know, I've got lifelong friendships out of it. We've got... I've been in bridal parties and vice versa of people
that's crazy
that I've met through the store and over that journey. You know, we've one of the things I remember at a MotoGP Grand Prix, we had a hens party, like four chicks booked tickets for the MotoGP weekend.
Jesus. And because you had an you had your own thing there, right?
We had our own marquee, which you and I have talked about. We probably, you know, could give away a couple little bits about that, but I think that could be a little Republica Moto Heaven thing coming. Because we stopped the year that COVID hit.
Yes.
And we've you know, we'd have 80 to 100 people inside a marquee or with its own grandstand, beer garden, bar service and everything like that at Phillip Island. And it was, the in my opinion, the best facility there, in that we had no brand bias, so you weren't forced to wear a Ducati jacket or you know, that sort of thing. And you know, we had a queue at the bar at 9 a.m. at opening time, and it was just
so Australian.
You know, and I think it'd be so fun to like run a bit of a pod out of there. We always had a DJ and some tunes, and it was just so fun.
Man, would love to do that. Like, I've spoken about it, especially a few drunk talks in Thailand. But like, there's no doubt the Republica fans would turn up. It'd be easily, if it was only, if it was capped at 100, it would be the easiest thing to sell ever. And then we'd be drinking beers with all the boys and the bros.
The hardest thing about the whole thing was actually getting those ticket sales. And I think with obviously the reach you guys have now, that
piece of piss
wouldn't be too hard.
No, it wouldn't be too hard. But that's cool that you did like the marquee. Because I remember the marquee. It was huge.
Yeah.
So you must have just had some... like you were talking about today, doing push-up competitions of people and this, like the amount of booze people were having, but it just sounds very cool.
Yeah,
the best weekend of the year.
But back to the industry, it has changed a lot. But we've continued to evolve. Online obviously is huge now.
Is that like your main, like is online for Motor Heaven, that's your biggest...
The largest part of the business as far as dollars wise, like we and whatnot. But we've got a thriving workshop, and a showroom where we still take the time to, you know, fit people up properly with whatever it is that they want, make them a coffee, get to know them. You know, everybody in the area shops with us, and we look after their bikes. And obviously we serve obviously the rest of Australia. We're sending helmets to Northern Territory and Kangaroo Island. Like just crazy stuff. We ship to New Zealand, so
For our Kiwi listeners
over there, and that's really cool. And we also, it's super exciting, we're actually very close to launching another sort of an online store, but it's Bike Heaven, which is bicycle retail, which is coming, so that's really exciting as well.
That's that is, and like the good thing about motorbikes and push bikes is obviously they go hand in hand. Like, you know, you look at MotoGP riders, they're all riding push bikes. Fucking Aleix Espargaró is racing in a cycling team now. Like, it's crazy.
100%. Yeah, look, you know, guys competing on moto or cycling is training and vice versa probably.
Yeah.
And then there's also cycling's fun. I think there's a few people worried that EMTB was take away or kill the dirt bike scene. That's not the case at all either. They're just going hand in hand. So.
It's cool seeing your business and obviously Bike Heaven, by the sounds of it, coming through. Like, your website is obviously, I'm not just trying to just plug this for our listeners either, but it is, as a motorbike fan and just like a retail shopper, it is by far the best. But I guess for everyone at the same time, it's cool that, you know, you're not paying full whack either for all your stuff. Like, you're not paying full price or whatever you guys call it. So
We're trying to have a model where you can confidently buy knowing you're getting a great price, the item shipped quickly, wrapped properly with a good exchange policy, etc. And just give people the confidence that people, we can see how many orders people have made in their history when the orders come through. Yeah. And like, we've got people that have like 15, 20 orders that continually come back to us. And that's a really good sign. Mm. And yeah, our web development team work day and night to make sure that when you're searching and filtering and things, that you're getting the right results. And it really is, I've used all the websites, and it, in my opinion, is the best website to shop motorcycle gear.
100% agree. And I
challenge people to prove me wrong.
100% agree. Give it a go. Definitely. I've been buying stuff forever. Bought too much stuff. It is by far the easiest. I'm just interested though, like, being, you know, a business owner, it must just be a full-on gig at the same time. Like, obviously looking after staff, but then trying to keep ahead with these big retail giants, or, you know, just trying to keep afloat at the same time. Like, this, there must be so much stress as well at the same time, with reward, like, yeah, with the things that you do. But, you know, it's a big undertaking, especially for a 24-year-old who's just starting out.
Yes, look, it's never gotten easier. Like, it remains hard.
Mm.
It's not all rainbows and unicorns, but we've had lots of good times too. Like, I'm not complaining. It's been awesome. I've had a great time, and I still love motorcycles. You know, while I'm here and watching MotoGP and whatnot, and still riding them, and I feel very lucky to have such an awesome job, and I'm surrounded by an awesome crew at work. A lot of the guys, like, I've had people that have been with me like 15, 12, 10 years. Mm. So we've got a good culture of people. And, you know, I've always sort of joked, but to work at Motor Heaven, you've got to be a good person first, and we can sort of teach the rest.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, everybody's got the, you know, their heart in the right place and care that everybody's getting served correctly and getting the right thing.
It's cool, man. Like, obviously with Republica, we've got to know you well and you guys really well, Tom and I, and it's awesome. And it's really cool, obviously, that you guys support us, and, you know, it's a big reason why we're here as well. So, like, seeing you guys, hopefully we do some work with MotoGP in the coming years, which would be awesome. But just hearing your story, and for everyone out there listening, I'm not trying to just plug this either. Like, Adrian's got an awesome story, great guy. Like, seriously, check out Motor Heaven. They are, obviously, a lot of you guys are riders, check them out, just give them a shot. They are awesome. If you're in Melbourne, go down for a coffee, speak to the guys there. But they are the best in the business at the same time.
Thanks, man. No, we appreciate that, and you know, we hope to we actually appreciate that people giving us a go, and other local stores, whether it be their local mum and dad store, or I'm a big fan of people using the smaller businesses and not just going to the big chains, which we all know who they are. Mm. But, you know, they're shutting down mum and dad stores left, right and centre.
Yeah, 100%. You're definitely right.
We try not to worry about what they're doing and just do our own thing and whatnot. And we were lucky that we got into online and pushed hard when we did.
Mm.
But definitely it's hard if you've got a shop in rural anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and look, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so support your local store too.
Yeah.
If not Motor Heaven, support local.
Well said, mate. Definitely well said. Check them out, motorheaven.com.au. They are the bros. Go down, say good day, check out their awesome website, get your bike service, whatever it is. But I just dare you just to try it, because you'll end up grabbing something anyway. All right, hot takes, mate. Hot takes. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I was going to say on this, you always say, oh, I've got so many hot takes. Oh, we've got so many.
Yeah.
I've seen how many there are.
Thank you.
It is ridiculous.
It's nuts.
I can't believe it.
It's nuts. It's literally thousands, and every week I was saying, like, it gets bigger and bigger. And, like, some people just think, oh, he's just saying that. No, it's every week it gets bigger. It takes so much time out of my day just to go through
them. The thought had crossed my mind, like, you know, that sort of fake it till you make it sort of, oh, look, oh, we're getting all, like, I've seen it. It's insane.
It's insane. Yeah. That's why my Instagram is, like, if someone knows how to do this, tell me, because I have to turn all my notifications off Instagram, because if hot takes or messages come through, my phone's just blowing up constantly.
The chicks can't get through. They're sending you messages and you're not getting them.
Look, I'll only open it only if it's a nude. So I was going for a run and once, and this is when I had to turn it off because we're getting comments of just abuse, and it was really funny. But I'm like on my run, it was cutting in and out of like Eminem, and it's just like these fucking shit cunts don't know what they're talking about. And like I was like, the notifications gotta go off. It gotta go off. It was too much. My phone was lighting up all night. But we love all the content, we love all the messages, and we try and get back to everyone as well. Whoever tries to get sent through, we had a guy messages from the States, and I messaged him back. Looking to start a MotoGP podcast and wanted some advice. So I gave him some advice, and that was really cool. And, you know, super nice guy. And then another guy. And then whenever I wear my old school Dawn Repsol jumper, I get like 3,000 messages about that. If anyone wants that Repsol Honda jumper, it's $10,000. I'll sign it personally for you. Or just look on eBay. Vintage Repsol Honda. There's stuff out there. People ask a mint for it. I got mine pretty cheap. If anyone's wondering, I got it for like $150, I reckon, out of England, delivered. So
you were wearing it last night at the MotoGP.
I was.
It's super cool.
Mick Bubb was giving me shit for it. But it is cool. Everyone asked me about it. Just look on eBay, vintage Repsol. There's stuff out there. There's some old Doohan t-shirts and an old Crivier t-shirt that's cool as.
I love it. Just you love merch so much. You just think that every listener out there is just like dying to get a top and look like you.
Yeah, yeah. They do.
Look at me. I'm in a black tee. Not everybody loves merch. It's very cool though.
You look I love merch. I've spent in Phillip Island thousands of dollars on merch. I was seeing
you in Thailand as well, and Tom walking around just like hunting merch.
Love it.
So you were hunting fake merch.
I wanted fake merch.
I found some fake merch on that street.
Yeah, you did too.
Yeah.
The thing with merch though is this is how OCD I was. I was like, okay, Ducati's going to win. They're going to break the record. I had my quarter zip Ducati polo, my jumper ready just to like rep Ducati. You know, they've just broken the record. I had it all laid out on my bed, ready to go to wear. And then fucking Zarco wins. Now Honda's back, so I got to wear
this. Can you imagine how much merch has been torched?
Yes.
From this round?
Bro, there'll be a truck somewhere full of all these t-shirts and whatever saying broken the record, 23 wins on the spin or whatever it was.
Yep.
Gone.
Burn it.
And that's like every world champion. There's one half that's...
They've always got a top ready. Well, yeah.
Yeah, they've always got a top ready.
Not always though, because they often like win at a round or two early.
True.
But yeah, I know what you mean. 100%.
Chris Vermeulen, we went to his place and did a pod, showed us his gold leather suit where he came runner up in the World Superbike title. Oh. And he's still got it. It is sick. But I said to him, like, bro, like, it would hurt looking at it.
I was going to say, that would be painful.
I know.
It?
He was all right with it, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah, I'd still rather have it than not have it.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
I was like to him, if you ever need someone to mine these suits, let me know. And he quickly shut me down.
No doubt.
All right, first one. Thank you for everyone sending them in. Thousands. Chrisabella _ Mir out Nakagami in. We haven't spoken about Nakagami. Fuck. Definitely not. That's a ridiculous take.
Yeah.
If you're going to kick anyone out, kick Chantra.
If that's 100%.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, it's not where
I feel for Mir.
I feel for him. I feel for him as well.
Yeah. But he's falling off all the time. Not everybody's falling off all the time. So you've got to... some of the responsibility falls on him.
I know.
You can say the Honda needs to improve, but it's Mir that's falling off it.
I know. But I think that's just his riding style and he's pushing. And I've said this so many times. I'm sorry for all our listeners. It's better that he's crashing out in sixth than it is in 16th. And that's what's happening. Besides, he's getting taken out at the moment.
Yeah.
He's getting taken out then. That wasn't his fault. Fractured hand, even worse.
Yeah.
Our boy D Silva 87S, all the way from North Carolina. We're on
I'm
the map.
I'm going to let you do that. you and Tom can do that.
All the way from Ohio. riding with the flag after you finish seconds, unless it's your first time podium, is lame as fuck.
Marquez.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. What was with that?
I didn't. Look, I'm a massive Marquez fan, and I'll agree.
20 seconds behind.
Yeah,
with the flag.
No flag. And you know what I don't like? Talking about merch, I don't like the merch flags. I want to see the country's flag. I
want
to see.
You want the 93? You want Spain?
I want Spanish flag. How iconic is the photos of Doohan or Stoner with the Aussie flag? Even Crivier, Spanish flag.
Did Doohan have a flag? Did you have like a merchy type of flag?
I don't know. The 90s. There was no such thing as merch back then.
Well, to there degree. Was apparently vintage merch.
Besides, I'm just trying to throw them off the hunt.
Okay, I'm okay with it. It doesn't stress me out.
Okay.
But I'm not okay with the flag at second.
Yeah.
If it was your first podium of all time, we should go for it. Yeah. That's probably different. Marquez, second, 20 seconds behind.
He doesn't need a flag.
He's held plenty of flags. What the fuck?
What's the point? It's actually a great call, Drayson. Yeah. Drayson Silva. What an American name, Drayson. Keep your national flag. Like seeing an American flag. Like Swansea Rainey when they had that, Kenny Roberts. Bro, Nicky Hayden with the American flag. How good did that look? Beautiful photo. Not your dumb number. We can see your number. Doesn't matter.
All right.
Anyway, it's really hit a nerve. My OCD autism kicking in right there. Bitchell Munting. Pedro creeping closer to fraud status. If Mav can ride the KDM, surely Pedro fraud-like. That's the first take where that makes sense to me. I actually agree. I agree. He's on the same bike now. I'm going to give it a couple more weeks. But if he's still behind Maverick Vinales, he's dipping into fraud. He's dipping into fraud status. And that's huge. That means we're going to get blocked by Pedro Acosta, which sucks.
You don't want that. He's too cool.
He's way too cool. I can get blocked by Bez because he probably only follows Italians anyway. So, or Valentino's. We got one. Probably follows one person, Valentino Rossi. Mm. Fraud. It's called Papa. Digia is not getting the 2026 bike next year. It will be Alex. It should always have been Alex. The problem with that, it's called Papa, number one reigning ticket holder, is he won't get onto a VR46 bike. A VR46 has that contract for that factory bike. It's not going to happen.
No.
And it's definitely not going to happen to a Marquez. There's no way. So that's the problem with this, having these bikes under that VR46 name, is that it like Idemitsu, they might not be picking that person on merit.
I mean, it's been happening for years though, has it not?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
Spanish.
I mean, Repsol. They wrote the book on it. So yeah. I don't think anyone can complain. It's
stupid.
It makes it a bit tricky, doesn't it? Because you've got not just teams, but you've got little gaggles inside of it.
You do.
The little Marquez clan, like we were saying today, you got the little Marquez clan, the VR46 clan, you know, Ranch v Ranch.
It is. It's Ranch setup. V Ranch.
So
it
limits the pool of who they'll accept, which is probably the saddest thing about it, and not choosing on merit or...
Yeah, correct. You know. And going into next year will be tricky because the 24 bike seems to be the best bike, right? So these guys are going to go on to the 25, which might not be the best bike, and the 26 might be even better. Do you get what I'm saying?
Can they just like slap a 25 compliance plate on a 24?
They might. Who knows?
I don't know the regs. Do they have to show development and change the bike? Because they've frozen.
I don't think so.
Haven't they frozen a year anyway?
Yeah.
Some bits of it?
Some.
Or 5 to 6?
I just don't think. I think it's a pride thing.
I reckon you just drill out the old... compliance plate and stick a new one on it.
11/24.
11th month, 24. Cracker.
Why doesn't Bagnaia go back to the 24, seeing how consistent and flexible it is to ride? They don't want to go backwards. They want him to help develop that bike.
See, I don't think he can. It's not an option for him.
Yeah, correct.
That too. Yeah. I mean, I think he wants to. I think he would do anything to swap panels with any one of those 24 bikes.
Yeah.
But I don't think he can. It doesn't work like that.
And it would fry him even more because Marquez is making that work, which we've already spoken about. Artisanal Bogan. The crowd response at Le Mans almost brought me to tears. Motorsport fucking rules, boys. Motorsport does rule. And talking about amazing motorsport events, that has to be... we've said this about Jerez, but that has to be a bucket list one. Like the Isle of Man... like, you know, so many other ones around the world, like Monaco or something like that. That is... and then seeing a French rider, bro, like, Jesus Christ, the scenes.
I did look Monaco a couple of years ago, Formula One.
Your footage from that is fucking incredible, by the way.
Yeah, on the super yacht on the Friday and everything. Shout out to Pirelli for that one because that was something I won. One of the good bits about having your own business.
Yeah.
The odd little junket. And that is just an iconic event, something I'll never forget. It was something else. I think going to Le Mans would be like that. I think the Le Mans 24-hour, they say, is fantastic as well.
Yes, yeah.
So I think they just know how to hold an event and party. I think they drink themselves stupid.
What I didn't realize is the French invented, and this is I only know this because I listened to Oxley Bombs this afternoon, the French invented motorcycle racing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He sounds like he had a lot more to say about that too, but was cut for time.
Yeah.
So I think he's done a bit of research into that. Like,
I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah.
Because they were talking...
ChatGPT.
Yeah. Peter Baum was talking about out of nowhere, but in like the dirt bike scene... The French have destroyed it in like the motocross to this nation for the past 6 years, more, 10 years. They've won multiple. Like the French can fucking ride. It's just the road racing just hasn't been up to scratch.
You know that classic comment, I don't know why it just hit me when you were saying that, but the first motorcycle race happened when the second motorcycle was built.
That is such a good quote, isn't it?
It's a classic. Because I mean, if you've ever been on a 50 with a buddy, like when you were a kid, or like I grew up on an XR80 with a good mate of mine, and the second that the bike was on and the helmet was strapped up, it was on.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about being on a motorbike with a buddy or with anyone, and it's just on.
It is.
Something happens.
As soon as you put those goggles on or the visor down. The
chemical released in the brain and it's fucking on.
This stupid chemical gets released and you do dumb stuff. Heart_Melbourne, Zarco winning in France and Honda breaking Ducati's streak is poetry in motion. Couldn't agree more.
Couldn't be happier.
Alan J. Chapman. GG looked generally irritated with Pecco's crash during the sprint. Problems brewing for Pecco. I wouldn't say there's like not, but I don't think so between the factory. I think there's way too much respect there. I think they've done enough with each other. I think it's going to be 10 rounds time and Pecco's 100 points behind Marquez. If that's the case, then there's going to be some issues with himself. I still don't think with the team.
I reckon it's coming sooner than you think.
Yeah, okay.
I do. I just think that Pecco won on the best bike against a field of riders that was mark free.
Yeah, okay.
I understand
what you're saying.
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve his championships because you can only race who's there.
Yeah.
But the best was not there at the time.
Well, Tom talks about this. He's spoken as his... will it tarnish... If Marquez goes out and dominates this season, does it tarnish his two world titles? And are you saying yes?
I mean, yes. Okay. Now, and that'll be no different if it was Rossi in his heyday and he was out injured. Yeah. It's not a Marquez thing. I'm a Marquez fan, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'll put my hand up and please still buy from Moto Heaven. Rossi people. We sell Rossi helmets and stuff. And I love Rossi.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. But I just think that it does discredit to some degree just having, you know, not the best there at the time.
Yeah. It's, I don't want.
I think I'm going to get slammed for that, by the way.
You're going to get. You know what? You'll get slammed for something you won't even realize.
It's so good.
I don't want to agree at all. I do not want to agree, but I think you're right. It just depends on what happens at the end of the season for me.
Hey, I hope you can get it sorted because nothing worse than just watching Mark and Alex ride around. I want to see bags
up with
there
you.
Having some battles, and I want to actually. I'm fingers crossed to see Mark and Alex scrap it.
Yeah,
They've gone close a couple of times where they've a couple of close passes or something, but I want to see. I want to see panels getting rubbed.
Interesting if they take each other out. It'll be very interesting. The thing with bags, he's one of the only riders. I'll put him in the category with Lorenzo before he went cheeseburger. You could just never count him out. No matter if his back was up against the wall, Lorenzo was the exact same. You could never count him out. I just always feel like they're a threat. No matter what.
He'll find a way.
You know, a perfect example is Jorge Lorenzo. And we'll talk about this as well. Like, fuck, I hated Jorge Lorenzo up against Rossi. He gets injured in Assen. Bang, breaks his collarbone, flies to Spain, gets surgery, comes back in the main race. Oh, this is the chance where Rossi can get some points or Stoner can get some points on him. Finishes sixth. Like, just
loses a finger at Phillip Island.
Yep. Yeah, exactly right. Like, just always seems to find a way, and Bagnaia is in that exact same category. They've just got that thing where you just can't kill them.
I have to say also, I had a lot of trouble liking Lorenzo.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite moments, I don't know the circuit, you will again, because you're like half a Rain Man.
Half.
when he won 1 year and he ran and jumped into the water. And the second year Perez, he won,
I think.
And he went to jump in again and he slipped and went up ass off the tit. It was like one of my favorite Lorenzo moments. But when I reflect and look back at Lorenzo's career, those, you know, consistent lap times that he puts in and the grit and determination and the pain barrier he was able to ride through, that he was like a real gladiator.
Real gladiator. Seriously, one of the best. I still think underappreciated. The more time goes on, I think the more appreciation he gets. But just like Bags, like you just can't kill him. Like he will just always be there. He'll always show up. And I really admire that quality. And I think when Bagnaia retires, a lot of people are going to remember that because he just, you know, was unlucky with Le Mans or whatever. And everyone's going to have those results. But he's just still always there. He's still always on the podium. Like he's just always there nipping at heels. And I think that's just such a good quality to have. And Lorenzo had that spades. And it was frustrating to watch. Mm. But fuck, he was good.
Yep.
Fuck, he was good. He could ride that Yamaha.
And a bit similar in the way they both would sort of check out a little bit. I don't feel like Bagnaia's had to scrap or battle real hard. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Not really. But when he has, he's done it.
He's got it done.
He's done it. Like Phillip Islands, was it last year or the year before when he cut back in the inside at Honda? And he just made a clinical move. It was a hard move, but he made it work. Same with Marc Marquez and both Jerez's, you know. So he has done it, but he's always been pretty clean. And Lorenzo was always pretty clean in his MotoGP days. 250 was a bit different. He fucking took out, I think, Bautista on the main straight, Mugello for another.
Bautista's taken out his fair share.
Yeah. He definitely has. He took out Rossi and Mugello first time back on that Yamaha. He took out Rossi, and everyone was thinking Rossi, Mugello, huge, takes him out first lap. Fuck, he would need security for the next 3 weeks, I reckon.
100%.
It's called Papa again. Me and all my homies hate Munoz. 100%, fair enough. Our boy Chris Sepps, racing is just different these days in the Premier class. I miss the alien days. I actually love racing now, and I love the alien days, but I think the racing's better now, and I think it's more competitive now.
I'm loving it. I can't wait for MotoGP weekends are better than non-MotoGP weekends.
Yeah.
The racing is absolutely sensational. Qualifying's awesome. The sprint format I'm loving.
Yeah.
Sometimes even I would say that the regular race can feel a little long.
Yeah.
As dumb as it sounds, but obviously it's still good. Aero's got to go, but the racing is fantastic still.
Racing's is the best. And I still think it's the best it's been ever. You're right, aero's going to go, but that's all going to get limited. They're going to Pirelli tires. It's going to get even better. And I think this last couple years has been shit house, and I think this year has improved a bit as well. And I think, as I spoke to Danby last year, like Marquez, he's the show. He makes it. There's always something happening around him. You always think he's going to crash or he's going to make a hard move. Like it's just the show.
It's the unknown.
It's the unknown. Exactly right. HG.Ava, she's consistent hot take messenger, which is nice. Munoz, too dangerous. No sanction has made him change. Should be suspended because he's been sanctioned quite a bit. Taken a lot of people out.
After this weekend, I'm down.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's nice to watch.
Yeah.
When it's not happening to your boy, Kelso.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, maybe he does need like a little touch up.
He might. Special Ed, Lando Pecco, whose teammate is getting to them more? Who will recover form first?
Isn't the Verstappen Marquez, are they, isn't it so similar?
It is.
They've both got a bike that is considered or car hard to drive, hard to ride. They just make it work. And They're so similar.
And the teammate, you know, can't do anything. Yeah. Out of Pecco or Lando, who's going to recover more? I actually think Lando will be quicker than Pecco, to be honest.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just this way that sport is. Last one. This is a good one. Braden_Hardcastle. If Manny Gonzalez wins Moto2, where do you place him in MotoGP? Which is a great call. If it was a perfect world, you'd put him on a Gresini. But I don't know where you can fit him in.
Gresini's an awesome place to start.
Where do you fit him in with Furman and Alex? You know, like, is it a... I think it's a disservice at the moment going to a track house.
Yeah.
You know?
you've either got to just take what you can get. I mean, remember, who's done it? Someone's done it in Moto 2 where they just did another year.
Zarco won, did another year.
Yes, won again.
Yep.
Yep. And I don't know, maybe that was contract, like maybe waiting for more seats to open. I don't actually know the ins and outs of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
because there's not much going to be open next year.
No, so
there's
like
really nothing.
And if you've dominated Moto 2, it might be like a big boy decision to actually like ride out another year.
But like
no one wants to, though.
No one wants to. And Moto 2, things change so quickly where champions can't back it up either.
You might be able to get something a little scribble though that, you know.
Yeah, Furman. He got a fucking contract a year out.
And then didn't do much that year.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's got his seat now, like he's flying. But
You need to be on that bike. You got to land on that bike. And I don't think a Trackhouse Aprilia at the moment works. Like, it's got to be. If you're going to have it.
Look at, you know, there's these great riders that have come through. Yeah. And the wrong bike choice will get you.
100%. And they're going to ruin a career. Yep. Give you a career in it. And
Jack Doohan.
Yeah.
A little bit Alpine. You know, well, that was tough.
Yeah, sliding doors moment for Piastri. They tried signing him, and then he chose McLaren, obviously, and did that whole press release. Right bike, you know, maybe you get onto a Yamaha. I don't know. It's too hard to tell, you know. And then you can back it up, and a Moto 2 would be extremely difficult, I reckon. And there's not many people that can. Obviously, Zarco did. Rain Man, Gabor Talmashi back in the 125s tried to back it up and did sweet fuck all the next year. So it's a hard one. Tito Rabat did. He backed it up in Moto 2.
Yes, and then he did nothing in MotoGP.
Yeah, so who knows? That's a very, very good hard, very good hot take that I cannot answer.
He was on the Mark VDS.
When they're all flying. Age, thanks for coming in, mate. Really appreciate you filling in.
Thanks
done
for
well.
Me.
You were awesome. Really interesting to speak about Moto Heaven. Guys, motoheaven.com.au. You'll be hearing more of it. Check them out. Facebook, Instagram, their website. Check out all their socials. Their social page is awesome. Whoever's running that is doing an amazing job. So keep on going. Motoheaven.com.au. Thank you, Adrian.
Thanks.
MotoGP is the best. Tom's back next week. No one freak out about that. He's getting his last massages now in Japan. He's all oiled up. Apparently in Nuru, I heard. So we'll see you next week. See ya.
See ya.